Wake Up War Chant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee. Come explore our world of coffee. Established in 2014, DeLuna Coffee is owned and operated by Ed, Courtney, and Brett Lemix. Lifelong FSU fans and Seminole boosters, Ed, class of 79, and son, Brett, class of 2009, along with Miss Courtney, can regularly be found tailgating near the Unconquered statue. Wake up with their breakfast blend called Five Flags, named after the five flags of their city, Pensacola. Higher caffeine because of the light roast, it is their unique blend of Mexican, Colombian, and Ethiopian Yirgacheffe beans. Use the promo code WARCHANT15 for a 15% discount. Visit DeLunaCoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.
From Tally to Cali,
it's time
to wake up!
Wake up! Wake up! Wake up!
WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up War Chant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee.
Coffee's for closers only.
Now here's WarChant.com's Aslan Hudjavandi
and Corey Clark.
Wake up! What's up, everybody? It's Wake Up War Chant is fueled by DeLuna Coffee. DeLunaCoffee.com. Come explore our world of coffee. Use the promo code WARCHANT15 while you're at it. You'll save yourself 15%. So you can do some other holiday shopping elsewhere, perhaps. But, you know, get the good stuff at DeLuna. Save some for yourself. Give some to a friend. Get the Tumbla. Get the Tumbla package with the Tumbla. And you get some coffee. And you get some sweets. It's all there. DeLunaCoffee.com. Use that promo code WARCHANT15. Thumbs up if you're listening to us on YouTube. We certainly would appreciate that. Maybe even subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're cranking out content, folks. We have rights. We have licensing access to video highlights. It's making everything pop a little bit better on the YouTube page, huh, Corey? Right? Yeah.
Yeah, and there are a couple of legitimate, incredible highlights from that game on Saturday. So yeah, it's good to see, man.
I know it only took us what 8 weeks to get some Zaxby's indescribably good players of the week that were like, man, yeah, that felt good. It felt
yeah,
real good.
Man, they were indescribably good. Both
yeah,
those plays,
absolutely. We love Zaxby's. Their food's always indescribably good. So just because the football team might not be bringing it, they're bringing it at Zaxby's, we assure you. Tuesday edition of the program, so we should talk about what happened on Monday. We got to speak to Mike Norvell, Kenny Dillingham, and Adam Fuller. We'll get John Papuchis, I think, after practice on Tuesday so we can grill him under the sun about the special teams play of late. I'm in a weird place, though, Corey. So I was driving with Ira on the way back, rental car swap, Clemson trip, cleaning up stuff on Monday. But he was like, so what do you think about the press conference? And I'm like, you know, I don't know where I'm at right now, Corey. I know that this is going to be a week-to-week emotional roller coaster the rest of this month, but during the press conference, we spoke to Norvell for 28 minutes, and I mean, I don't know, the first 15-20 minutes was just a lot of good feelings and good vibes. And hey, listen, man, I see growth, I see potential, I see progress, I like it. I also see a lot of losses, though. So I'm in this weird sort of predicament where I'm like, okay, we can talk about what we like about this team right now and what's encouraging. But, I mean, there's a cap. And then it's like, all right, well, we got to pivot to the fact that they're not winning these games. And he's not happy. Like, he's not sitting here saying, bow down before me and look at this greatness I've brought before you all. But, yeah, just a weird sort of dance, I feel like, where it's like, all right, man, like I don't want to sit here and be a jerk about things. But at the same time, like, I don't want to sit here for 25 minutes and just talk about, well, you know, this is all good. You know, we're stacking things on top of each other, and it's good because I still think there's some things missing there, man. I still think the offense is a little bit disjointed. But I don't know, man. He stared me down, and the question I asked him, he's like, that was a really good defense, which they were. Yeah. And, again, it's a whole weird dance. I don't know. Where are you right now, Corey?
You know, I'm in a better place than I was last year, for sure. And I'm in a better place than I was Sunday night. It was a rough one, going to be honest with you, Aslan.
I don't want to talk
getting
about
a 4-0 lead in the first inning and blowing it because you're pitching a guy that was not even on your roster. It hurts a little bit. But it's all right. I got confidence in Max Fried. But yeah, man, Last year I hit a breaking point. Like, what are we watching? Like, this is disgusting football. There's nothing to like about it. There's nothing redeeming about any of this other than Asante Samuel's a good player. There was nothing redeeming about Florida State football really last year. And when Jordan Travis was healthy, he made some plays. This year I feel like, you know, the record's the record, but we knew it wasn't going to be a good team. And in September, we thought we might be looking at a 1-11 team. I think now I'm, you know, I'm optimistic about where this program is going. And so when you're talking about a team that, yeah, they didn't do anything against Clemson offensively, nobody does. But I think overall, when you look at where this, you know, it's a slow burn. You don't, not other than my man at Mel Tucker, you don't go from bad to really good all that quickly. But I think they're a decent football team. I think they're better than they were last year. And I think they play hard. And that's something. And they got some players. They got to get better players, man. Right? Like, that's the thing about when you I was thinking about today when Adam Fuller was talking. Was, you know, I thought he did a fine job on Saturday. And I think he's done a good job this year. Like, when you, a fine job this year. Maybe good's a little strong. But when you look at that game on Saturday, it wasn't like guys were just running free, right? You know,
I'm cool with the defense,
but it's better. And you look at that defense and, you know, the things that were happening last season, the things that were happening at the beginning of this season, like Louisville, where guys are just running scot-free. Nobody's near them. Another communication issue. That stuff seems to have been maybe not completely eliminated, but close to it. There were a couple crossing routes in that game on Saturday. They're just too easy throw. They're too easy of throws. But overall, they look better. But there's only a ceiling to how good any of this can be until they get a better players. Like, if they had the best coach in America, what would their record be? You know, I just don't think when you have players, when you have, I don't know what you'd call it, I'm not trying to be rude, but when you have a three-star roster, you're going to lose some games because you don't have great players. But I think when you're thinking about a coaching staff and what they're building, and you look at some of the foundation that's being laid, I think, you know, listening to Norvell, listening to Dillingham. Man, by the way, again, just go watch Kenny Dillingham's press conferences.
He is trying to show us just how smart he is and how dumb we all are. And it's fine. You can do that.
Oh, I love it. Oh, he's definitely doing that. But I love it. Like, I love that. I just love that kind of inside football.
I mean, they're doing three cloud and some twists and stunts on the outside, but they're not showing on the outside. And then they're doing some overman stuff with a crisscross. He's just like, you guys, which, yeah, he has every right to do that. You know, like, you guys think you know, but you don't know. I do know. But anyhow, yeah, Kenny Dillon.
Yeah, but so that, but he explains, like, what their issues were. He did a great job, I thought, of explaining why Jordan Travis couldn't run. Now, the counter to that is, okay, what can you do the next time somebody tries to do that when they bracket him on both sides? And he was like, look, the twists they were doing up front, they weren't even to really rush the passer. Yeah. They were just to keep him in the pocket. They weren't even trying to move upfield really on some of those. They just didn't want to give him a lane to run. And so he had nowhere to run. And that was something they probably haven't seen a lot of, but it's also Clemson. They can do that. Like NC State, well, they got a pretty good defense. But like Boston College can try to watch what Brent Venables' defense did and be like, oh, let's just repeat that. It's Boston College's players. So I have a feeling Jordan Travis will look different against them than he did against Clemson. And to that point, when I was thinking about the defense, I'm like, okay, man, I do think Adam Fuller has done a decent enough job this year, but – you know, I feel like the reason he's done a decent job for the most part is what he's got up front. That's a good defensive line. It's the strength of the football team.
Yeah.
All right, well, when Jermaine Johnson leaves and Keir Thomas leaves, and I think Robert Cooper might have a year left, I mean, you're losing your two best players up front.
He could leave. So, there's a lot of guys. I mean, Coop's draft eligible. I mean, I don't so think he's going to leave, but.
So then what?
Yeah.
You know, that's my concern on the defensive side of the ball, is that I think he's done a good enough job, but then you look at, do they ever like completely confuse another team? Like Venables straight up, he has great players, which
blitzes.
Helps.
They dialed up some blitzes that got home and
yeah,
really affected DJ.
They did. They actually did. There was one in particular early on, maybe in the first half, where they dialed up a blitz and he had to throw it away. It was when whoever tried to catch it, maybe Knowles tried to catch it.
I know Akeem came screaming in on one, and I think Deloach knocked the ball down actually because it was a rush, kind of low platform throw. So,
but you see all the pre-snap movement that Clemson does. You know, the safety threatening a blitz, getting in the gap, then backing up or staying back and then coming and then backing up again, and you just don't see a ton of that with Florida State, which is fine. But I just think, I wonder moving forward when it comes to the defense, are they going to be, you'd like to say, okay, they're young, they're going to keep growing, they're going to get better. Okay, but are they better this year because they know the scheme, they're getting better as a team, they're getting better as players? Or are they better this year because of number 11 and number 4?
Yeah.
And if that's the case, that's what I worry about on that side of the ball. On the other side of the ball, on offense, I don't really worry. I mean, I think I like what they try to do. They just, when it comes to teams like Clemson, they don't have the horses. They just don't right now.
Pitt does, though. Pitt has the horses. NC State has the horses. Florida State does not.
They have – Pitt has a quarterback, like a good quarterback.
You love Jordan Travis. And I'm not trying to be a joke about it, but Jordan Travis can do some stuff that Kenny Pickett can't do.
But I think if you asked any defensive coordinator in the country, like, who would you rather play, a guy that does most of the stuff with his legs or a guy that can pick you apart with his arm, they'd all say the guy with his legs. A guy that can see it like Kenny Pickett sees it, a guy that can throw it to a spot and throw it quickly, like the guy at Miami.
And he's got a lot of athleticism, too. Kenny's got a lot of athleticism, too.
Kenny, yeah, Pickett, he does. He can run. Yeah. Yeah, he can run. But he does some stuff with his arm that's pretty good.
I love all this Tyler Van Dyke heat you're starting to create
now. Gosh, I might right now. It's him and the Iowa center are my two Heisman favorites. By the way, I think he's fallen off my board. He's awesome. He's fun to watch. They had 23 yards at halftime of that game they lost on Saturday. 23 total yards. I can't vote for a player on a unit that bad. It'd be like voting for Asante Samuel last year. I just can't do it. It's not his fault. He's awesome at his job, but it's not leading to a lot of yards and points, and now they're not winning. So anyway, if you're wondering where Clark's Heisman heat was, the Heisman heat right now in the first day of November, or second day of November, he's kind of slowly going down the list. But back to the offense, I just think, you know, and NC State has a good offensive line. I wouldn't say Florida State has a great offensive line, and they're banged up. So it was just an awful matchup on that side of the ball. But I do think, man, don't you think when you see just the structure of this program, have they gotten better? They've improved from last season.
Absolutely.
Assuredly. Yes. And they've improved from this earlier this season. And I just feel like, okay, there's some stuff being laid here that when you get better players, if this is still what it is, if this foundation has really been laid, you can see this team winning 9 or 10 games a year or two from now. I truly believe that.
I agree.
Because there's some coaches where there's some cultures where it wouldn't matter how good the players are, they're going to have some losses. I think this culture, I really do. I've been around this program now for 15 years. This is a good culture. It really is. Not a good team, not a great roster, but it's a good culture, and that's something. And that's something you can build on, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's nothing we saw Saturday that made you think if they have an equally talented roster with the teams they go up against that they're going to find ways to lose.
Right.
There is a little bit of the concern. Again, you know, 5.5 minutes left. Just get a couple first downs, man. Get 2 first downs, punt the ball. Clemson's got to go the length of the field with maybe like a minute left at that point.
Right.
And you couldn't get one single
with
first
the field
down.
Goal kicker they didn't trust.
Yeah. So, I mean, so I'm trying to be a little bit balanced there. But, yeah, I mean, you look at what they're doing, and definitely, man, there are gaps. There are holes in this roster. I think they've patched things up a little bit better than the way that Willie did. I know a lot of people would be like, well, hey, man, like, you guys really weren't all that tough on the roster when Willie was around here. Why are we now talking about players being an issue? I just think these games are so much more competitive. It's so much more clear that they really are a player or two away as opposed to just kind of like the slop that we were seeing in 18. 19 was a weird animal, but 18, just nothing felt good about 18. But
no, at all. 18, I was thinking about that. Again, I was thinking about that Clemson game in 2018. Clemson was up 59-3, and they're trying to throw a touchdown to Dabo's kid.
Yeah.
In your building with the dude at the top row reading a book.
What would this team have done against 18? What would 2021 Florida State,
that team was hammering everybody. I don't think two of the guys would have gotten thrown out for fighting, for throwing punches on the sideline. I think that game doesn't get completely, I don't think it becomes an embarrassment.
Right.
But also, yeah, part of that is Clemson's dipped, you know, maybe severely, I don't know, but maybe it's an anomaly, but it's a dip for sure. But you've also, you know, again, last year if Clemson would have dipped, it wouldn't have mattered. But you almost, you know, you were there with them. You were right there with them, hanging with them. So hopefully they build, you know, I was thinking, I hope it builds confidence in those players. You know, that was an experience that none of them have ever been in before. And that was another thing Dillingham talked about, was that was their first road game ever, really. First road atmosphere that they had to deal with. And, you know, there were some missed calls and missed checks and guys doing the wrong thing because they didn't hear the check. And so that's the stuff that I know that's not, you don't want to hear that. That's not exactly something you should maybe be publicizing, but I think it speaks to, it was another experience that none of these guys have gone through, and now they have. And, you know, let's see if they can build on it. I feel like they built on their other experiences of the last month, and they got a chance to build on this one. And at least they're checking those boxes off of things like, okay, play in a tough environment and play good enough that you got a chance to win in the fourth quarter. Have a lead in the fourth quarter against Clemson. All right. The next box to check there is beat Clemson and go win a game like that. But still, man, I thought overall, I don't know how you would be like disgusted or upset with the direction of the program. I think even the biggest Norvell detractors would be like, yeah, we can see improvement from last season and from the beginning of this season. Clearly this is a better football team and they're making progress. It's not coming as fast as anybody would like. I get it. And nobody's sitting here telling you to be okay with 4-8 seasons for the next 3 years, but you might have to be okay with a 4-8 season this year because that's what this team is. It's not, I just don't think the coaching is letting them down. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think it's just not a good roster.
There's a science to sports betting, everybody. You surely know about this. There's betting lines, and sometimes a line is what they call stinky, and you have to lean into it one way or the other. I don't know which way you're supposed to lean, but that's why you listen to the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. Florida State, a 3-point underdog at home against NC State. I think that qualifies as a stinky line. And I don't know where you want to lean, but again, if you listen to the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM, you'll probably get a decent idea of why the line is why it is. Hosts Michael Jenkins and Chelsea Messinger will break down the big takeaways and make sure you know everything you need to know so you can bet smarter. It's all about being prepared, everybody. They got featured guests like bookmakers, Odyssey insiders, and it's Odyssey like audacity without the IT. They spell things funny over there. And some BetMGM experts. They'll give you a fresh take on the action. Your friends are going to probably be wondering why you know things that they don't. So, ready to bet with an edge? Tune into the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. Listen weekdays 6 and 9 a.m. Eastern on Odyssey. Again, it's like Audacity, but no I or T. Spotify, which we're on as well, or your favorite podcast app.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
To your overarching point, again, I hope I didn't come off thinking that this program is like moving in the wrong direction or anything like that. It's just tough, you know, like you said, nobody's happy with the speed of this. No. Nobody's happy with 4-8.
But I don't like think trying to balance it doesn't that feel with, stagnant. It doesn't feel stagnant.
No. Certainly would have been cool if they would have won that game, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, just the last thing on that, and then I guess we maybe get back to big picture stuff, but I'm just like looking at the drive chart for them. They had 14 drives. Yeah. I mean, maybe only like 12 of them were legit because the last drive, you know, 23 seconds left. I mean, what are you going to do? And then the last drive of the first half. But man, they had two good drives. They had the second drive of the game, which they scored the touchdown, the Jay Sean. Was that a fourth down they scored the touchdown on, or was that third?
I think that was third.
Yeah. And then two drives later, which, I mean, it was just really one play. I mean, so it's really only had one good drive when you really boil it down to its essence. Man, because in the second half, they get five plays, 24 yards, eight plays, 25 yards, three and out, one snap and you fumble, four plays, 24 yards, three and out, five plays, negative 9 yards, three plays, negative 6 yards. That sort of stuff. I was hoping, I don't know if they're saying that stuff was going to be behind us. But man, like that's winning time. You talk about playing winning football.
Yeah.
Adam Fuller talks about, you know, Akeem Dent doing things, playing winning football. I think defensively they did. Offensively they did not, but I guess ultimately we just fairly chalk it up to them, again, this roster not being able to compete with Clemson ultimately. I mean, fumble, listen, man, that fumble, again, what a bummer, but they weren't on the plus. I thought they were on the plus. Ira was trying to tell me they're on the plus side of the field. I don't think they were. They started their own 46. Close enough, though, right, for sure. But again, they turned the ball right back over, but Clemson misses the field goal. So it wasn't like the end of the world even, but I guess maybe you're hoping at that juncture that, I mean, although, listen, your previous three drives, you go out on downs, eight plays, 25 yards, and a three and out. So it wasn't exactly you were humming, and it was like, okay, this is going to be the back-breaking drive. I wanted something more out of the offense. Like, the defense is getting better. I wonder if the offense is maybe, like, hitting their head on the ceiling of what they can be for this season.
Well, I definitely think that – I think their ceiling, especially against a team like that, is only so high. I mean, you just – if they're going to take your quarterback's ability to run away, and, they have the people to do it. A lot of teams don't. If they're going to bracket him, if they're going to have two spies, I think Dillingham, I know he did. He said that some plays they had two spies, one on each side. Every play they had one spy. Some plays they had two spies. Well, that's them saying, you're not going to beat us with your legs. And I would have liked some sort of counter to that. But I don't know if there's one to make with the personnel. Like, it's not like you can just say, okay, we're going to throw it every down. Jordan, sit back there and scan the field. You don't have the receivers to get open consistently, number one. You don't feel like you can block it up. So that was another thing Dillingham talked about. Yeah, I'm going to go a little heavy on Kenny. Was, you know, he said they went to five wide, empty a lot, because they knew what pressure they were going to get then. It was going to be a three-man rush. They knew every time they went five wide that it would only be three men at the line of scrimmage. And he's like, the problem with when you're playing Clemson and you're playing against their normal defense is not only are those defensive linemen all awesome, but they disguise the blitzes so well. They simulate pressure.
Yeah.
Even if they're not coming, they look like they're coming. But you can't do that with a five wide. So that's why they did that more than usual. But I just think by and large they didn't have a lot of answers, man. They I think Jordan Travis might be able to one day be like a really good passer. And I'm not even talking about, like, people hear passing, they think I'm talking about. And I'm not even really talking to accuracy that much or arm strength. I'm talking about getting rid of it quick, seeing it quickly, and getting it out of your hand quickly. Maybe he develops that along the lines. But he's not there yet. And to beat that team when they're going to take him away, you got to be able to hit some plays in the passing game, like middle of the field. It also hurt. We haven't talked about it. It really hurt that Cam McDonald wasn't out there. You know, you saw how much they threw to Jordan Wilson. I mean, you know, maybe Cam McDonald could have had a big day against that defense in the middle of the field, and they lost him pretty early on, I thought. So it is what it is, man. I don't think I'm going to judge. I think this offense is what we saw against North Carolina. You know, did they play any worse than – I mean, I know they did play worse, but was it because they didn't execute, or was it because that's just how much better Clemson is than North Carolina? That's all. I don't know.
Well, I did mention they didn't execute well on that drive after so they get the scoop and score to go ahead.
Yeah.
Clemson goes three and out. Then that drive, they get the false start to start it off. And then I don't know if it was first and 15 or second and 12 or whatever, but they did create, there was an opportunity for Jordan to run and probably get a first down. And he said they had three receivers blocking three defensive backs, but it was Malik McClain. We love Malik. The limit is the sky. Sky's the limit. Roof's the ceiling. Whatever. But you missed that. And again, that's not the coach's fault. And then again, I'm not picking on players. I think he's a good player. He's going to be a great player, we were hoping. So that's kind of a tough thing. I wasn't all that convinced with his answer on the fourth down call. I think maybe that more than anything, because that was the first play of that second half. And maybe if you actually go down and score on that drive, again, that's the whole butterfly effect. How's it going to affect everything else? But I feel like if we're going to pick on a drive in the second half, I think that was more of a bummer, I thought, than Trayshawn's fumble. But, I mean, he mentioned something about, like, you know, they had six hats on six blockers, and in that sort of situation, obviously you're going to hand the ball off, and he trusts Trayshawn Corbin in that situation. And it's like, well, man, do you though? But he's not in the business of telling us that he's – maybe he listened to the podcast, you know, hey, we're not going to admit that they throw stuff at us that we weren't planning anymore. So I don't think he's going to be like, yeah, we messed up on a play call either. So it's fine. It's fine though.
No. He wouldn't. You don't want your coach to be admitting mistakes all the time. You know, Dillingham was doing that the whole first half of the season. Like, hey, they did something we'd never seen before. We didn't prepare for it. So I don't think, but it's also, this isn't even rude to say, but they're, you know, Dillingham has it in Norvell. Maybe they just got out coached too, but I don't, again, how do you even judge? Because I'm sure they had some plays dialed up that would have worked and could have worked, but yeah, Malik McClay misses a block, or your offensive lineman misses a block, or you false start, or your receiver just can't get open, or your quarterback doesn't see it. I just think we're seeing, I think we've seen enough this season to think this offense can be pretty good moving forward. Maybe great, I don't know, but pretty good at least. And you just need some better players, man. Hopefully the cavalry's coming, especially at wide receiver. You might have some real difference makers. You might need another one to transfer in that does more for you than Parchment has. But, yeah, you've got to have guys out wide to make – you've got to have special guys out wide. They don't have them. And when you're playing an elite defense, you don't need them against North Carolina or Syracuse or hopefully NC State and Miami.
Yeah.
To look good against that kind of competition, that level of competition, you need great players out wide. But I don't know, man. Like, I heard Jeff talking about it, I think it was today, talking about, like, you know, is Jordan Travis the guy that can get you where you want to go? And my retort to be that would be, no, he's not a guy that can probably win you a national championship. But he's a guy that's certainly good enough for the now while you're building.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They would be 1-7 right now without him. And they would have won literally one game the last 2 years without him. He's good enough for the now. And then you build around him and see how good he is then. And if he's not good enough to, you know, but by that time he'd be graduated. You need to win games the next 2 years, and you need to, and he's, I think he can win you football games. That's all. But Clemson's tough. That's a tough ask.
Yeah, I try to ask Norvell pretty much that question. I'm just like, hey, man, like, he overwhelmed everybody that you've played and pretty much everybody that you're going to play in this conference. He can overwhelm them with his gifts. But when he can't, like, where is this team's sort of ceiling? And he didn't like that. He was like, well, you know, that was a really good defense. It's a really good defense.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, man. And yeah, to your point, like, this, I don't know, like, your hope, best case scenario, 2023, you're competing for, like, a playoff berth.
Sure.
So, you know, in the meantime, win 7-8 games next year, I guess. Beat Miami this year. Maybe beat Florida. Maybe beat both. What's going on in Gainesville right now? I think are we allowed to enjoy their misery, although we're, like, in a worse place? I don't know. It's like being in jail and, like, I don't know, like, we're both in jail, but we've got, like, a worse cellmate than they do. Can we still make fun of them for being in jail?
I think so. That when we were talking about Dan Mullen and what a good coach he is, this is the stuff, right?
So what's going on,
I mean,
Dan?
he's just a goofy, clearly unlikable guy. And I'm not just saying that because he wouldn't talk to the press and he shut down their media access for, I mean, what, I don't understand the look that happened. So he, you know, for the people that don't know, on Monday, he does what Norvell does. He does his weekly press conference
in front of a computer. Like, everybody's asking questions over Zoom and he's in front of, like, his camera.
And then somebody asked him a question about recruiting, not like, hey, are you recruiting this guy? Can you talk? Cause you're not allowed to talk about recruits. Just about the nature of recruiting, and he just cut him off and said, we'll talk about recruiting during recruiting season. Right now, it's football season. Next question. Interrupted the guy. Next question. And then they shut down media access for the week. Like, no coordinators, no players, no Mullen again. And I don't – why? Who are you punishing? What I don't – I when coaches do that, and they don't do it often, it's such a bad look. because it's like, man, your fans want to hear from you, man. And now you look like a childish baby. Oh, it was the media mean to you? So now, he doesn't have any fans in that. He doesn't have a ton of backers in that fan base, I don't think.
He doesn't. It's wild. They're done with him. Like, they're done with him.
Well, I mean, he's lost to some really good teams, but, well, LSU isn't really good. But you know, whatever that record is against Power 5 opponents or FBS opponents, whatever it is, it's not great. It's like 3-7 in his last 10. So that doesn't help. And he's just so unlikable. And he comes off as childish and churlish hard to root for. So, you know, that's one thing that Norvell has really knocked out of the park. It's not something that's going to save him his job if things don't, you know, keep going in the right direction. But, man, let the fans like you. Let the fans know you. Let the fans know your coaches. I don't think anybody listened to this that has watched a press conference with Dillingham and Fuller and Papuchis and these players would be like, oh, F that guy. We all like it. I like Adam Fuller. I like Dillingham.
Yeah, yeah.
I like both those guys. I don't know how great they are at their jobs right now, but I do like them. And I think that helps. It helps them. It helps when a fan base feels like they know your team. And so many coaches don't get it. And Dan Mullen just comes off as a childish little baby. Now you don't get access at all. At the University of Florida, one of the bigger, you know, obviously a huge football program, one of the bigger institutions in the country, you just cut off access. Because why? You lost the number one team in the country? That guy.
Well, this is why I think really does become sort of interesting is you didn't beat Clemson. You know, Miami's obviously, that's a beatable, that's a winnable game. Although with that quarterback, who knows? They got Jim Kelly and Gino Toretta.
Yeah.
Cyborg coming
out.
Yeah,
their baby.
You know, maybe like the Florida game. And honestly, you guys all know where I stand on the Florida-Miami rivalry, so I'll take the Florida game. But that being like your last game of the season, and I think to win it like in the swamp, like I don't want to give Miami the satisfaction of winning in Doak, but man, anytime you can beat the Gators in the swamp, that's amazing. And it goes back to your beginning of the show, you're talking about culture, and I'm talking about I like the way they're sort of progressing and the way they do respond. Talking to Devontae Love Taylor on Trench Talk Monday, just again, like they remain steadfast and confident in where they're going and how much better they're getting. And they're pissed off. Like no one's happy. And I think that's
right.
That's keeping a lot of the wolves at the gates too right now. I think a lot of the fans do recognize that the coaching staff and these players are not happy. But man, like I don't know, it was Feldman. I've seen a couple of these national writers talking about like obviously quoting anonymous sources or opposing coaches, but they're saying Florida is not playing hard. Like
yeah.
Florida's not playing tough. No one has said that about Florida State this season.
No, you couldn't.
That kind of portends good to what could happen possibly in that last weekend. And
right. Well, November. But also what's going to happen moving forward. I think it says a lot about a team to play as hard as this team plays. And a lot about their belief in believing in each other, but believing in the coaches too. Fuller talked about that. He said, when it came to the takeaways, it was, they believe in themselves, but sometimes turnovers can be fluky. But when they see the stuff they're practicing actually work, it just bolsters their belief. And he talked about their Jermaine Johnson play. He's like, those are drills we work on every day. The smacking the ball down, and then he's like, and then you don't panic, you bend your knees and you pick it up. Those are drills we work every day. And when they see that pay off in a game, it just instills more and more belief. So all that stuff matters. The thing in The Athletic, that story where it was quoting anonymous SEC coaches, yeah, they were like, number one, Florida never makes a defensive adjustment, not one. And also, they don't play hard. Now, it's an anonymous SEC coach, so who knows who that was. Could have been Kirby. I don't know. They were taking shots at the culture of the program. And that's worrisome, and maybe that's why Mullen shut it down. He got mad at that story and was like, I don't want to talk to any of these guys anymore, which still isn't fair, but whatever. But, that's a really bad thing. And it's like when Willie was here and Florida had that DB that was just wouldn't shut up, talked a ton. He's in the league now. He gets in fights all the time.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson?
There you go. And he was, he's sitting there on the sidelines telling Florida State, hey, man, you're missing a receiver out here. You only got 10 on the field. Bring a receiver out. Waving him on the sideline. And then after the games, like, yeah, they, basically saying, like, we knew all their plays. They didn't do anything different. We were calling out the plays for them because we knew what was coming. and stuff like that, man. That those were embarrassing moments. There were a lot of them in 18, not nearly as much in 19, but in 18 there were a lot of embarrassing moments, and there was plenty last year too. But I feel like they're past that now. They're not an embarrassment, and I think that's what has to be remembered. Forget the 3-6 record, guys. They were embarrassingly bad last year. They were awful. They got blown out by everyone not named North Carolina. They lost to that Miami team by a million points. They were awful in 2020. Awful. They are not awful now. They have a bad record, but they are not an awful football team. And hey, I like that. I'd rather cover a great team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I had my druthers. But this sure beats covering what we covered last year and what we covered in 18. There are real, tangible signs of growth that this program is starting to find some footing again. And wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't it be nice if Max Fried, what do you want out of Max? Like 6?
9.
Really?
I want 9 innings of 3-hit, 1-run baseball.
Okay. Not asking for the world. Being practical, being reasonable.
You know what? Let me take that back. I want him to give me about 7 and then let Tucker Davidson come in and shut it down. He pitched so well on Sunday with a 4-run lead. You know, the kid that hadn't pitched at all the whole year, you gave him a 4-run lead. That was. I'm still not quite over that. But it's fine. It's fine, Aslan. I don't care. You think I care? I don't care.
Yeah, but when Freddie hit the home run to go, like, I saw 4-0. I'm like, yes. I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Corey's there. He's going to be able to enjoy it. And then I put it. I actually put the game on, and then it becomes like 4-1. I'm like, okay, I'm off. I'm not watching it. I'm the bad luck charm. And I'm like, oh, it's 4-4. I'm like, no way. But then Freddie hits the home run. I was like, okay, yeah, man, like, this ain't your daddy's Braves, y'all. Like, let's go.
Right. Well, and that was an issue because I think after that they brought in Minner. I think maybe Minner didn't. Yeah, Minner pitched with the 5-4 lead, and he's been their best guy, and he wasn't good. He walked the bases low. He walked in a run. He walked the worst hitter in the series to walk in a run and then gave up a bloop 2-run single to a pinch hitter. So he wasn't good. I just wish, like I was talking about it in the second inning of game 2 when Max Fried had already given up 5 runs. Literally, if I'm the manager, and I'm not saying I'm better than Brian Snitker, clearly I'm not.
I think you
are. I pull Max Fried then and say, we're saving him for game 5. He's only thrown 31 pitches. He's our horse. I want him in game 5 at home because he pitches better at home. Also, because Charlie Morton, you knew at that point Charlie Morton. By the way, Charlie Morton was supposed to pitch Sunday night. That would have been fun, but whatever. You knew Charlie Morton had broken his leg. So you're like, you have to change your plans. And I feel like, man, if they would, they could even gone to Fried on short rest. Like, take it by the throat. And if it doesn't work out, I don't know that anybody would have blamed Brian Snitker for saying, you know what, we are up 3-1. My ace, my best pitcher, he's on 3 days rest, but that's fine. I'm pitching him because we are treat it like a game 7. We are 27 outs away, and I'm pitching him. And if he gives me 5 innings, and then I go to my guys and we close it out, you don't just give away runs and innings with guys that can't pitch. That have, you know, he did it in Saturday too. He pitched a kid that hadn't pitched all year, and he walked 3 guys in a third of an inning. That's how the Astros scored their first run. Was off that guy. So it's like, I don't know, man. I don't like tempting fate. You had a chance to throttle to win the series, and Max Fried pitching with a 4-run lead with the juice that was in that crowd, I feel like he would have gotten it done. But he wasn't. They could have used Maddox. He threw out the first pitch. Wouldn't mind him throwing about 50 more. What are you gonna do though? Well, hey, this ain't Braves. This ain't wake up Braves. Nobody cares about my.
What are you going to do for the game though on Tuesday night? Like, are you going to watch it alone? Are you going to go to CP?
No, I'm not going to watch it.
We're back to this again.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you a question, Aslan.
No, you're right. Yeah. What's their record?
You know, did it work on Saturday night or not? Yeah. Didn't watch a second. I wouldn't even let Ira and Aslan hint at what the score was.
Ira and I are texting each other in the front seat of the car ride back from Clemson, talking about the Braves game, so we don't. Sully,
well, I don't like hearing about Ira texting.
Well,
when he's driving, but that's fine. Yeah, guys,
I was texting. He was reading. He didn't respond to anything. He was reading.
Yeah.
All right. Before the game, though, Corey's got a big thing going on. That's Seminole Headlines with he, Ira, and Jeff Cameron. That's 1 to 3 p.m. live on War Chant TV, as well as 93.3 FM radio here in Tallahassee. So tune in each way, whether you want terrestrial radio or you want to be on the internet. They'll be there waiting for you guys. We'll be at practice as well. Updates and interviews to follow on our website, warchant.com. And then we will do another one of these shows. We'll be live Wednesday probably again, Corey, I think. So can't wait. Can't wait, man. Talk to you later, Corey, okay?
Okay, buddy. Love you.
He's Corey Maslow. Thanks for listening to Wake Up War Chant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee. Come explore our world of coffee. DeLuna Coffee features over 24 different blends. DeLuna's unique roasts can be delivered ground finely for drip coffee makers, coarse for the craft crowd, untouched as a whole bean, or even in convenient K-cups. Founded in 2014 by the Lemix family, Ed and Brett are FSU alums and boosters who are extending a special offer to all listeners. Use the promo code WARCHANT15 for a 15% discount. Visit DeLunaCoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.